It's nice to see you all. As we turn to Isaiah and the chapter 60, there's a lot in Isaiah and in other chapters, other books of the Bible. There are those who feel that God hasn't got a future plan for Israel, but he has. And it's impossible, I say, to read the verses that we have been looking at. It's impossible to read those verses and not see that God has a plan. Now, those who feel that God doesn't have a plan, they get out of the clear teaching of these verses that we're looking at by saying that when God speaks about Israel, he's talking about the New Testament church. When he talks about Zion, he's talking about the church. When he uses these phrases, he isn't actually referring to those that we think he is referring to, but he is referring to the church. Well now, if you met someone and they kept talking about today and calling it Sunday, after a while you would say to them, excuse me, why do you keep saying today is Sunday when it's Thursday? Why don't you just call it its proper name? Well, in like fashion, you would have to say to the Lord, if you're talking about the church, why do you call it Zion? If you're talking about the New Testament believer, why do you call them Israel? Why not call them their proper name? And of course, I believe it very wrong to suggest that God talks in this strange way, this coded fashion, saying one thing but meaning another. I don't think we can say that about God. No, there is a future for Israel. Let me just show you one verse while we're on that topic before we turn to Isaiah. Look at Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, and here in this chapter, Jacob has come to the end of his life. Jacob, the very father of the nation, in a sense, in that the nation was called after him. So here is Jacob, and he's dying, and he gathers all his sons together around the bed. Verse 1, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Jacob believed that there was going to be events in which his descendants would center, would feature in the very last days. He believed there was a future for Israel. And of course there is. We looked at Romans chapter 11. Now, Isaiah chapter 60. We're going to read from the verse 10 through to the end of the chapter. And there are very specific blessings mentioned in the verses that we're going to read. Very specific. Very clear terms are employed. And they're terms that can only refer to Israel. That's the point I'm making. If I describe or start describing the parts of a motor car, and I go into details on the engine and on the wheels and the steering and the wipers and all the rest of it, you know I'm not talking about a twin bed. Because a twin bed doesn't have all these things, an engine and wheels and wipers and lights. No. The terms I am employing can only refer to a motor car. And the terms that you find here in this chapter, and in many other chapters, can only refer to the nation of Israel. We've got to bear that in mind. God's very specific here in what he is saying. And you will notice that what he is saying has to do with every aspect of life in the nation. Every aspect of life. And again, you will notice that what God says he will do specifically for the nation of Israel is absolutely certain, and it's eternal. I'm thinking particularly of verses 18, 19, 21, 22. Look at them, just while we're talking about that. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. The people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. That makes it certain, doesn't it? God said, I will bring it about. And if you were paying attention, there were phrases there that indicated that the changes God would bring in that day of blessing were never going to stop. They were eternal. We started at verse 18. Violence shall no more, no more. Peace was going to be a lasting thing. And verse 19, everlasting light. Verse 21, you have the phrase, shall inherit the land forever. You see, boys and girls, when you notice phrases like this, you are being taught by God the changes I'm going to bring into the nation and into the land of Israel will never change again. They'll always be like that. They'll always be like that. That's how we know that what God is saying here about Israel hasn't yet happened. That's how we know. Because they haven't got peace. They haven't got security. They haven't the things that God says he will here bring to them. Therefore, it's in the future. It's in the future. Now, I said every aspect of life was touched upon, and that's true. The security of Israel, when God brings about the changes that are here spoken of, and those changes will follow the return of Christ, the security of Israel will be totally established. Look at the verse 10. We'll start there. Verse 10. The sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favour have I had mercy on thee. Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut, day nor night. That men may bring unto thee the forces, we might say the riches, the prosperity of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Here is a picture of security and peace. How do I know? Well, look at the image of the city with the gates never shut. Never shut. What's the last thing your dad does at night? What's the last thing he does? Lock the door. Lock the door. We really couldn't leave the door open in these days because somebody would come in and we'd wake up in the morning and there would hardly be a thing left in the house that hadn't been stolen. So when you read here God saying, you'll not have to shut the gates of the city, it speaks of peace. It speaks of security. It speaks of a time of tranquility in Israel that they certainly don't know today. They haven't got security at the moment. They can't leave the doors of their houses or the gates of the cities open because they would be overrun, they'd be plundered. But there's a day coming. There's a day coming. And it's the day of peace that will exist in Israel when the Lord Jesus is on the throne. He's called the Prince of Peace. And of course he will bring peace, not just to Israel, but across the whole world, where his reign will extend. Then look at the prosperity that comes to Israel. I think at the present time, you know, that it's likely that the nation of Israel couldn't survive financially if it were not for the support they receive from Jews across the world, particularly the Jews who are in America. And I would say an awful lot of American money goes into Israel and helps them, as we say, make ends meet, pay their bills. They couldn't do it without that help. But God is going to bring about a day in which Israel is going to be greatly enriched. I talked about how the Jews were plundered throughout the years, throughout the centuries. Well, that's going to go into reverse. That's going to go into reverse. Instead of money being taken away from the Jews and property taken away from the Jews and valuables taken away from the Jews, you're going to find Gentile nations sending riches of every sort to Israel. Verse 11, therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night. That, here's why they're keeping them open. Not only is there no threat, but They're leaving them open, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles. I said that's a word, the forces of the Gentiles, the power of the Gentiles, the riches of the Gentiles are going to be brought to Israel, that their kings may be brought. These riches are going to be brought by the kings of the nations, the leaders of the nations. Look at verse 15. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated. That's how it is now. I was reading yesterday of a leading actress in the United Kingdom, and she's a Jewess. She said, I think I'll leave the United Kingdom because of the threats that face the Jews. It's no longer safe to live in the United Kingdom, she says, because of the anti-Jewish feeling. And there has been an element of anti-Jewish feeling springing up. It's always there. It's always there. So they are despised. God says in the verse 15, whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal. There's that word. What God's going to do is going to last forever. It's not going to end. An eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and thou shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Saviour and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron, I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. We read these verses already. Reminds me of what we read about the days of Solomon, when the kingdom under Solomon became one of the greatest kingdoms in the world. And in Solomon's kingdom, gold became as common as silver had been. And silver became as common as brass had been. And brass became as common as iron had been. So rich became the nation. So rich became the nation in the days of Solomon. And it was a picture of what God was going to do for the nation one day. Only in Solomon's case it didn't last very long. When he died, the nation declined. But when the Lord comes again and begins to bless Israel and enrich them, they'll never, ever be poor again. It's going to last forever, these benefits, these blessings that the Lord is bringing. So there's going to be prosperity. It's wonderful how the Lord puts it there and says that he is going to reverse things for them, that whereas they in the past have suffered abuse, things are going to change. I'm going to favour you, the Lord says. And these are the things that will happen. Look at the sovereignty. You know what that word means. Israel is not merely going to become peaceable and secure and become rich. They are actually going to become sovereign over all the nations. Now, you can't imagine today what the Palestinians would think of that, or what any of the Arab nations would think of that, or those people who hate the Jew. You can't imagine what they would think if you went amongst them and saying, oh, by the way, in a future day, God is going to make Israel sovereign over all the nations. Well, I don't think you'd get out of the country alive if you went among the Muslim nations teaching such a thing, but that's what God says. Look at it, the sovereignty of Israel. Verse 12, for the nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. That's what God says. When I bless you, Israel, I'm going to put you over all the nations, and any nation that will not serve you, I will destroy them. I will destroy them. So there's a day coming when those people who have been trampled underfoot and hated by all nations are actually going to rule and to reign. When Jesus is king, that's what he's going to do. Of course, there'll be a very different nation will be saved, they'll be converted. They themselves will be absolutely submissive to the Lord, carrying out His will, so that to be ruled by these converted Jews is going to be a blessing. It's going to be a blessing. It's going to be the sweetest conquest the world has ever known, when the Lord makes His people Israel to rule and to reign. Verse 14, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. The nations of the world will come to Israel, and they'll bow right down before them, and they'll recognize that God is amongst them, that God is their God. Does that remind you of anything? Because you see, as I said before, all the things that will happen one day, there's always a little picture in the Bible, here and there, of these events that hint at what is to come. Do you remember anyone who was despised and downtrodden, but suddenly those who had despised them were bowing down before them? Do you remember? Joseph. Yeah, that's one instance. That's one instance. Joseph told his dreams, in which it was clear he was going to become a great person, and his brothers were mad. Ha! Bow down before him. Who does he think he is? Even his father, Jacob, was displeased. But in the providence of God, it came about. And the brothers came to Egypt, as you know the story, and they didn't recognize Joseph, and they were, oh, great one, mighty one, oh. And they were bowing and scraping before him in terror, because they thought that he would kill them. And God brought it about, just as Joseph had prophesied in his dream. And I tell you, it's a picture of what's going to happen in the future. It says in Philippians that every knee shall bow before the Lord Jesus. Every knee. And they shall own him as God. Everyone. And they will also bow before those who are his servants in that day. The Jewish race. For they will be the race that God will use during that time when Christ will reign over the world. That's what this chapter is all about. That's what these verses mean. And we finish the chapter. And we move on Tuesday to another chapter, which I hope you'll find interesting as well. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank Thee we can believe Your word today. We thank Thee, Lord, that there's no exaggeration in what here we find written down. It's all going to happen. Lord, Thy name is signed at the bottom of this statement, as it were. And what shame would be brought upon Thee if it didn't happen. Therefore, it will happen. And Lord, we look forward to the great plans of God being fulfilled. We thank Thee for each one among the boys and the girls here who are part of God's plan. They're saved. Today they're going to heaven. They will have a place there. Any who are not saved, Lord, please make them to understand that they're not saved, and make them to desire to be saved. Answer prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.